Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hey, welcome once again to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I am here with you. I am Adam Beebe. Also here with you is Barry Johnston.
What's up, guys? How's it going, Adam?
All right, man. How you doing over there, Bear?
Good. Doing good, man. I'm pretty excited about what we got going on today. We've brought an old friend of ours, a mutual friend. We've known him almost as long as we've known each other, although nobody knows each other as long as we have.
That's true.
But
on both accounts.
That's right. But no, we've known Fro for a long time. Long time. He's just a great dude.
Solid.
And I think that, to be honest with you, this episode is probably one of the most intriguing personally for myself.
Mm-hmm. This one is certainly insightful as well, on a personal level.
Yeah.
Because I know this is where you're leading with that, is that I feel like I know Fro and I understand him a little bit better, you know? Him as a person, from just this short conversation that, neither one of us has heard any of these stories.
Yeah, because it's like the weird thing is about Fro is that as long as I've known him, and I mean this in the best possible way, he's an enigma, you know?
He really is.
And he's just one of those guys that I always looked up to in a lot of ways with musical taste and creativity. The guy is just like, he was always ahead of the curve when it came to
smart. And he's always
smart. Yeah.
Always smart kid.
Super. And, we started our first band together, we're like 12 years old, we started playing guitar. Yeah. Start playing guitars together. And then I moved to drums, and then we started sort of getting serious about it. And his love for music really was contagious. And so we always had a really good friendship, but there's always something deeper about him, and we talked about it in this episode because it's like, he would never talk about this stuff, these weird things that happened to him. It really caught me off guard because I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. He's a great guy and he's a great friend, and he's been a great friend of the podcast. He's been supporting us from the get-go, and we finally got him on. And so, Barry, I'm going to let you take charge and lead in on this with our buddy, Fro.
Awesome. So, Fro, what's your weird story?
Hey. Well, you guys know I've lived the wildlife and all that, but I thought I'd share some stuff from before when I was little, because it's like it started early. So, you give it some backstory here. I'm maybe 3 to 5 years old, and I'm out cruising. We lived out in the country because I had almost burnt our house down in town. We had a rent house in Edmond. And
How'd you almost burn it down?
Well, somehow I figured out matches and newspapers or something that was up on the coffee table, because everybody had big ass coffee tables back then.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, dude.
And my dad was in the bedroom doing his thing, and I was out there, and I don't know how I got it figured out. Maybe I got helped with a little nudge from something or whatever, but I lit the newspaper up, blazing fire to the ceiling, and I just bolted out the front door.
Hey, at least you're smart enough to get out.
Right.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Well, just get the hell out of here. That's hot. I was really a little kid at that age, and it was just kind of ahead of me to be starting fires.
Sure.
But I can still remember in that house in Edmond, as little, it was like when Jaws was coming out, and I would try and creep around the corner at night, because you could creep around and peek around the corner and see where the TV was. The parents wouldn't see me. And I was hanging out watching, trying to get all scared a little bit. And then I did. It scared me. I make noise. I get caught and get kicked out of it, you know, back to bed. But from the fire, we end up out in the country. And this was somewhere out there by the Big Lake over in Edmond area, now Arcadia. It was like before all was developed, though.
Okay.
So it was some pretty cool stuff. Really kind of
pretty out there, man.
Yeah, we were out there in the country, no neighbors, red dirt roads. And I remember going out in the woods with my little dog, and I always had him by my side, a little white spit named Winston. And we'd go cruising down this out in front of the yard, and then there was like a dried up creek bed. And I guess I just kept following it for quite a while with the dog. And then he kind of stops me, and he gets all at attention and everything. And you know, dogs are sensing something. But then I could just see off in the dark, because it was getting dusky, something just felt wrong, you know, like it gave me the chills kind of vibe. So I bolt back and get to the house with the dog and everything, freaked out a little bit, but, you know, everybody's in there. I'm all cool and calm. Maybe a week or so later, I came home from school, and that little dog, we had him outside, like on chains, and he was all the way out on his chain, choked out, gone.
Wow. Crazy.
The other little girl dog, she was just over there cowering by hers. And normally these were little spits, man. They were active and bouncing. Yeah. We would come up and he's down. And it was like, you know, that was heartbreaking. What happened? You know, kind of how would he go so far to choke himself out?
Oh, man.
How long after you were walking and that happened where you got freaked out to where that happened? How much time had passed?
Yeah, maybe like I said, maybe it was a week or two.
Okay.
Little kid.
Okay.
I had some more experiences since then, but it was like not long after there, because we didn't live out there that long.
Okay.
Because that was the place we moved to, and then my father passed away, and we ended up moving to Kingfisher after that.
Okay.
But after the dog goes, you know, and I had said I saw something off and then scary, you know, and they said, you know, just be careful. Then one night we come home from being out, and I go to open my curtains in my room, because I was on the end of a trailer house and the big windows, and my cat was filleted open and nailed up to our wood fence.
What?
Guts hanging out and everything.
Are you serious, dude?
Serious. And in those years, it was like, you know, they talk about Satan worshipers and stuff.
The satanic panic.
That was the thing around then, and that's, you know, that was like the last straw, like, we're not comfortable here. And then, it's a couple weeks later, my dad's killed in an oil field accident. So, bam, 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 you know?
Really?
It was, you know, just creepy.
Okay, so let me just say this, because I've known you for, when did we meet, dude? When we were just, like, what? Just young
grade, kindergarten,
yeah, right,
you know? Yeah,
so we know each other for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I knew that your dad died when you were young,
right?
I never knew anything about that or anything about what you're talking about right now. This is the first time I've ever heard any of that.
Me too.
That is crazy, dude. What did you like, how long did it take you over your life to sort of put all that to get together or see something? I'm not saying that it was connected, but I'm just saying the order of things and how that went. I mean, how long did it take you?
You know, over all of my life so far, you know, 10, 20 years later, I still hadn't kind of put all that together. As I've grown accustomed to living in things how they are, it's just kind of, you know, I could see how it was.
Right.
You know, and that kind of formed how I dealt with things. When I moved to a new place, new people, there would be, when I saw or felt like dark edges, things that were worrying me, got a bad vibe, I'd skate the other way kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then that was just how it was as a kid. And I wasn't going to go telling kids that shit.
Sure.
Because you didn't want to feel like, you know, I'm busy trying to make friends. I was a tiny little scrawny little dude with no athletic talent or anything. You know, trying to wheel my way into groups and adjust with people. So we just, you know, and back then we saw scary movies and shit. You just kind of, you dust it off as that's the heebie-jeebies or something. You know,
yeah,
make,
right.
Make you curl.
Right. So what did you...
All that, you know, goes down, and then we move to Kingfisher. Mm-hmm. And this is still right before my brother's born.
Mm. Okay.
So my dad passed before, a couple months before Ethan was actually born. And then get a new baby in the house. But we get the trailer moved to Kingfisher. Grandpa gets us out there in Schaffenberg.
Yep.
A couple months. Kind of country, but not really. It's just down there on the dead-end road. Old farm pasture section that we had. I think we had maybe a couple acres. And we get it kind of set up and everything. And I don't feel bad, but after everything that's happened, it just was kind of different. Hard to adjust to living there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that was strong then was my granddad. He was the man who kept everything glued, but he liked doing things, and he worked that land. We dug a huge garden. He got this big tiller, and we're talking, you know, to me, when I was little, it looked like a football field.
Yeah.
It was probably 40, 50 yards or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm out there with him learning how to garden stuff different times, learning how to pick weeds and what this is, what plant that is. And that's kind of a normal thing to do when I was hanging with Grandpa. We'd do that. We'd go fishing. One time we're out there gardening, and I'm standing back talking to him, and I'm just looking out over the garden. I'm standing back, and right behind me is like the barbed wire fence in between us and the neighbors. I'm just kind of there behind me. I don't even realize it, but I'm grabbing this thing, and I'm talking to him, and I'm talking to him. I hear him, but I don't really see him. And then he's like, all right, you know, well, let's go. And he starts going away, and I go to follow him, and I stop myself. My hand is like reached back, white knuckling the barbed wire, and blood is just dripping out of my hand. I got like a death grip on this barbed wire, and I don't know why. And as I see that is, I'm telling myself to let go. I see the blood. I start freaking a little. I start crying, and I turn around to yell for my grandpa, and he literally pops up on the other side of the garden. Like the one I was talking to was right in front of me, and then he started to head west towards the edge of the driveway. The one that pops up off his knees on the far end is on the east side. I've never been talking to my grandpa.
Whoa.
As I pull that together, I'm like, I could see the guy that I was talking to, but just shadowy darkness. But I could see enough that he had overalls on and like this, I don't know, not Amish looking hat. I guess Amish, you know, you know, like Ish and Kingpin, right?
Right.
A little hat, kind of flat rimming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw it, just the back. I saw that pointing out there and pointing and then trying to lead me out to go. And my grandpa never wore overalls, and he always wore like a regular hat. He was on the other end, and I kind of look at him and see him pop up. He's like, what? And I look over the other way, and I don't see anything. And at that point, I'm bloody and start to well up, freak out. And so I go running to Grandpa. I tell him, I was talking to you. I don't know. He's like, well, I've been right here digging. What are you doing over there?
Dude, you're body.
Freaking me out, dude. You're freaking me out right now.
Yeah, you're freaking me out for sure.
Holy shit.
Your body, dude, obviously something you're because you were grabbing onto that and you're hurting yourself so much so that your defense of your own safety was so much that you didn't even notice you were hurting yourself. And as a little kid, you know, you're very sensitive. All pain is like 1,000 times more. And that is just, dude, that is wild.
Damn.
Yeah. And that's it. The thing I've always noticed about myself is that there is kind of the tale of two tales, the Gemini kind of, I'm either all in or I'm all out, kind of just. But the places where I feel good, you know, I can feel great in. in some places it just feels wrong in there, you know. In that moment, I remember being tense, and then I white knuckle grip, just blood dripping. I had just embedded the barb right into my little thumb.
Holy shit! You know, man.
I tried to walk away, and I had to like back it up off the barb and everything.
It's my god!
I just always felt in tune to stuff like that.
How old were you when this one happened?
That would have been in the 5 to 7 range, maybe. Because Beef was still an infant.
Jeez.
Did you tell your mom that? Did you tell your mom the whole story? Or you know, did you tell anybody the whole story?
You know, really, I didn't. I just told Grandpa that I was talking to him, and he was telling me, no, I've been down here working, and I just, that confused me. It was just like, I didn't know there's alien time gap going on or what. Whoa. I just freaked out. It was just lost time. But
wow,
I'll never forget that feeling.
Yeah.
And then I work in construction, so I've been in so many different houses where I've been in old houses, new houses. And some of them you think would be spooky as hell, they just look scary. Mm. Some of them you think are normal, you just walk in and you feel it. And mm-hmm. It's like, man, get this thing done and get out.
Yeah, right.
Get out. You haven't heard anything say that, have you? You haven't got any physical...
You know, and I don't know if I actually had a conversation or if I was just kind of in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of one of those things. And I felt that stuff later. Yeah, and the same note that I've been when I was out there, if I wasn't out there, I was here in town at my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Same years, maybe a year or two more there, 7 to 8, I don't know, is when I started riding my bike all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like the ultimate freedom. There wasn't any helmet. There weren't any rules. Just be back in the dark.
Yeah.
And it was also like in our hometown, completely safe. Well, like, you know, 90% safe to ride around on a bike when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
Back at that time, because, you know, I mean, people weren't tearing ass around all the streets and everything. Because you knew basically that was only Main Street and a couple other streets that you knew to avoid as a kid because, you know, high schoolers, basically. Right.
Our town was the kind of town you could leave your door unlocked. You know, it was just that way.
Easily. Yeah. But I started riding my bike all around, up and down the street and everything. And the neighbors across the street, their curb, they would weed eat that thing back, like, 2 inches from the edge of the curb. They had to have this meticulous. Well, I figured out that was just the perfect width of my tire. So I loved it, like, you know, I'm a little BMX superstar, and I would go ride right down the curb edge, like, oh, my God. And he hated it. He came out screaming a couple times at me. And I would just ride on and stuff. And one day I did it, and he really hollered at me. And he goes, I'm going to go tell your grandparents, something like that. And I had stopped a few houses further down. And then this old lady hollered out. And it was an old lady up in her porch swing. And she hollered at the neighbor to just shut up or something like that. And she told me, come here, honey. You know, and I just, you know, good vibe. Like the old lady. So I rolled up around the bike and sat there and talked to her. And she got me some candy of some sort. I sat there on the porch swing with it. She was a cool old lady. So kind of saw that friendship. So over the next, you know, year or whatever, as I'm riding around, if she was out there, I'd go stop, say hi. I'd go to Halloween. She always made big homemade candy apple stuff, you know, caramel apple action. And it was kind of neat. You know, you just go sit with this old lady and swing on a porch swing. It felt good. One night, I had been riding around, and I saw her up there, and I went out and sat, talked to her, swing on the swing and everything. Started getting dark, so I said, I better get home for supper, get home. And I told Granny where I'd been. She always asked, you know. She kept an eye on me.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was just down there with the old lady on the swinging, talking to her. And then I realized it was time to come supper. And she was like, you couldn't have been down there because she passed away last week.
Whoa.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was just another time that hit me like, what is... I know I did that, didn't I? Or did I go up there and swing by myself?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Everything, you would know. You, I mean, you...
felt right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you went and you might not have gone up and just swung by yourself, you know. Yeah. And two, you would know if you swung by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you would say, I was swinging on where, you know, that porch, you know, with the lady where I was too. You know, I would think that would be, you know, registered. But if, as opposed to, I was swinging with the old lady like I always do.
Right.
So, wow, dude.
And it just... for a little while, I would ride the other way. And I would pass the house.
I can imagine.
Freaked me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I got brave enough to kind of fly by a couple times. And there was nothing there. So I got comfortable with it and just would ride by. And then every now and then, you would just feel that feeling or something when you're riding by. And you look over, and that swing would be swinging.
Really?
Dude,
you know that you look at the trees and stuff, they're moving a little. Okay, maybe, you know,
maybe some wind,
but it would just be when I would feel it that I would, it would make me look and I would see it swinging. Never saw the old lady again. Mm-hmm. Never. Just that feeling. Yeah. Whoa. And I was kind of sad that swing got taken down. I was like, oh yeah.
Well, you know,
man,
The grandmotherly types, you know, are, I think every kid loves that feeling. You know what I mean? Just that open, sort of loving feeling, you know, and as a kid, you're really drawn to that. So, you know, having someone in your life, you know, whether or not it is your grandmother or somebody that's just kind is, it's a nice thing. And of course you want to be around that. So why wouldn't you want to go sit with her and swing? You know what I mean? I mean, that's just so, that is, wow, man, that's crazy. I've never heard any of these stories.
I haven't either.
No.
I haven't either. And
a lot of that just stays with, you know.
Yeah.
Where you think you see something in the dark, I would tend to tell myself, no, I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hell, I might just see that.
Right. Right.
One of those. And well, like that house down the street, I live down the street from it now.
Yeah.
And I guess over time, you know, and enough people have come and gone that you just don't feel that anymore there.
Sure.
On the same note, being where I am in my grandparents' house, I feel them all the time.
Really?
Ho, 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 ho. I'm still working on the laugh. But you know, it's been my lifelong ambition to be Santa Claus, a real-life Santa.
You've been talking about that for quite a while.
Dude, I've been born with the body. I am designed by nature to be Santa Claus. I've got Beyond Dad Bod. I've got Santa Bod. So, you guys out there in What's Your Weird Story Land, we're coming up on Christmas. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas or any of the other end-of-the-year holidays, we thought it'd be cool to have a themed story episode.
If you saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus, if you saw something coming down the chimney, if you experienced a Christmas miracle, any of those things, we would love to hear it.
You know, I swear at one time I saw Rudolph's red light.
I'm sure.
It snows. I swear that, dude. Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, so, you know, if you got that stuff, man, we would love to hear that. And it'll be fun and lighthearted. Or even if it's dark, we want to hear it. And we'll have a special, and that'll be fun. So cool. Awesome. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Another thing I got for you is the typical, you know, you're in bed feeling stuff. There was one time I had come home. It was after my grandfather passed, and I would stay in his old room, old bed. I had this big dresser on the end that he would, when I would stay over there as a kid when he was there, we'd stay and we'd get gussied up and go to the football games, watch Cousin Dave and Mark kind of do their thing. You know, I remember him putting on the aftershave and, you know, we'd go to the game, come back, and I'd sleep in the bed with him. And then, because him and grandma were like old school, they had their own beds.
Yeah. Kind of the same way.
And so I always knew what it felt like to have him in there as a kid, you know, and he would leave the nightlight on for me, and he would still smell like the aftershave. I came home one time and I stayed here. It was just me and Granny after he'd been gone. And I went to sleep, and I slept lights and everything off at that point. I was in the dark with a fan running kind of thing. I started smelling that aftershave. I started smelling it. I think it was Old Spice. And it was just, I started smelling it, and I'm laying there sleeping. And I was still, I slept on my side. I didn't sleep where he slept. It was just kind of how I stayed in there. And I swear I felt the bed move. And I'm telling myself, you know, keep your eyes shut. You're safe. No, you know, you're good. And then that smell just really got strong. So I open my eyes, and the first thing I notice is the light is on in the dresser.
Whoa.
And I never turned that light on, man.
Wow, dude.
Turned that light on.
Yeah, I just got goosebumps for that one. That's the second story now that we've heard where there's been a smell involved as well, but like that being a smell that so closely associate to your grandfather, man, that's intense, man.
It was just, that was more the just the heebie-jeebies feeling, though. I didn't feel unsafe. It just creeped the shit out of me.
Of course, dude. Of course. I've said this before, and I've experienced, when my grandmother passed, I lived in Milwaukee at the time, and I was working a shift, and we're right in the heat of it. I worked in a restaurant as a bartender, and, you know, it's like a Saturday night, and we're jamming, and it's, I don't know, I'm going to say 8:30, man, and I knew she wasn't doing well, but I just had this overwhelming, something washed over me, and I just a sense of heaviness, but love, you know, just warmth, and it was very comforting, but at the same time, I couldn't really take it in, because I'm right in the middle of trying to work. Found out later that that's when my grandmother had passed. When you know, and, you know, because of the especially someone you're so close with like that, you know that feeling that you get when you're in their presence, or when you you know, have that connection with somebody. And I don't discount that at all, dude, because I've been there. I felt it.
Well, I mean, he did pass here. I didn't get there when he went. I was a couple hours behind. I was out skating, and my cousin came and found me. But he had got pretty bad cancer, and then we brought him home for his last couple weeks or so, and he was in a hospital bed. It wasn't in that room, but it was in the house. Yeah. And then on the same end of that, my grandmother, when she passed here. It was sudden. It was just in her sleep. She had set out hamburger the night before to cook, because I stayed here to take care of her after, you know, I moved away and she got robbed. And so I came back and just moved in, took care of Granny. And I told her, you'll be here, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And she just kind of went in her sleep one night, just like she wanted, didn't lose her wits. She didn't mind losing her sight, because they won't lose her wits.
Right.
Wow. So both of them have went here. And this is an old house. Like, it's listed like 1908 or something on the, because it was like Frankenstein. There was like a little bitty original one room shack house, and then they added another shack house up against it, and then they brought in a garage thing against that. So it's got a lot of mixed up history.
Sure.
There have been times where I've been here, and it didn't really, I didn't really notice anything bad when Granny was still here. But I just never really felt bad in this house. It just always felt pretty protected. But once they had passed and I was here by myself, it felt good at times and then strange at times, you know, kind of like something ain't cooking.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I would have moments where I was like, I swear I didn't have that light on. or something like that. So I'd go turn that shit off, and then I go to the other house, and I don't go back. I'm in the backyard. I don't want to go bother. I don't want to do nothing. Sometimes it would just feel that way. And other times you feel like things are good. Well, one time I was just belligerently drunken, a fool, a couple nights in a row, kind of tore the house up a bit.
As you do.
I come to in my end of the house, which I was on the far end of the house. I'd kind of turned the old garage into like a den area when Granny was here, and then I just kind of never migrated out. Mm-hmm. That was my slamming pad area there. And I come to, and I'm pretty rough shape, and I just power a couple more drinks in to wake up kind of thing. You know, just grab the end of the bottle. This will help. It didn't help. Mm-hmm. And I'm surveying the room. There's a couple of holes in this wall and one in that door. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, it really felt like shit for a minute. And then I hear this loud, like, crack. I mean, it sounded like a gunshot. So I'm like, whoa, what the hell's going on? Bounce up, run around, look through the house. I don't see anything. And then as I'm coming back through the kitchen, I look over and a utility drawer that was always overly stuffed and half closed had been slammed so hard that it was cracked. And I hadn't done that. I hadn't even been in that room. And I called my cousin and I was telling him about it. He's like, man, I think they're tired of you fucking up their house.
Wow.
So I can't think it. Had I gone through there that night and slammed that thing shut? Well, maybe, but where the hell did that sound come from?
Right.
Yeah.
It was in the house.
And
that was one room over. You know, there was a wall between me and that, and it was fucking loud.
Yeah.
The dog I had, Brandy, she wasn't moving. She looked up at me and was not moving. She just stayed on the couch like, you go deal with it, buddy.
Right. Wow.
Definitely something to get your attention. That
as a sign, and I like cleaned my shit up, you know, got it together. And then it didn't have that bad vibe feel anymore. What the hangover feel? It was kind of just like, I think I pushed it a little bit.
Right. Right. You
Well, that's
You tip the anger. You tip the anger in the ghost or something, man.
Yeah, you pushed Grandma too far.
Right.
Granny off, man. Granny got mad.
Fuck, man. Wow.
Yeah, it's just got that weird in tune kind of feel you get, but I always just thought people deal with it their own way. Either choose to see it or they don't see it. And yeah, that's
sure.
Whatever you got to do to be comfortable, you know, do your thing, I'll do mine. We're good.
Right. Well, not everyone has those experiences, you know?
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, I forget about that, and then you go out and you meet people, and some people, you bless their hearts, they're so nice, and you start talking to them, and it's like, oh my God, you're so naive. You haven't done anything.
Right.
You are black milk. Yeah. Plain and simple.
Right. And I mean, I think that we see that a lot, too, because that's why people keep a lot of this stuff to themselves, too, because you're so afraid of what people say, especially when you're a kid. Who are you going to say that shit to? Nobody's going to believe you. They're going to think you're crazy.
Man, you know, beyond that, fine line back then, you know.
Yeah. Right.
When you're a little kid, the people you're going to tell are the adults in your life, and the adults are, you know, I mean, most of the time are going to think, oh, well, you're just you got carried away with your own imagination. Yeah, you know, you just got carried away because little kids do that. You know, little kids psych themselves up out of things, and little kids get carried away, and little kids don't understand how reality. You know, quote unquote around reality, I guess, but how reality works, and maybe quote unquote around works as well, because, you know, I mean, we don't, the frame for what is and what isn't is not as rigid when you're a little kid, because, you know, you don't have experience of all these things and all this life. And so you experience stuff like that, but like when with your fake grandpa, you know, and who do you tell grandpa? Well, you told grandpa I was just talking to you, and you told me to go with you, but I couldn't, you know, and now my hand's all bloody, you know, and you probably couldn't even put it into that clear of a structure mm-hmm. to communicate to him as a little kid because you're freaking out, you know. Yeah.
I was crying and snot bubbles and everything, you know. It was a hot mess.
When you told that story, I thought you were going to say something like it was an electrified fence, you know, because you know sometimes you grab onto something electric, you can't let go, you know.
Yeah, it was an old ass nasty barbed wire, man.
Right,
it was mean.
Right, that's so crazy, dude.
And that was just that one. Just reawoke, you know. Every time I kind of just forget about it, it seems like something just kind of gives me a little tingle.
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those.
Yeah,
and like I told you, I've worked in thousands of houses. I've been in construction 20 years. You know, mm-hmm. there'll be houses you go into and you feel all right, and then there's others where it's I don't want to be in that room, or I feel like I should get out of this room, stay the hell out of the basement. You know. Mm-hmm. Get the cold chill, and it's the middle of damn summer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just weird stuff like that. I just kind of brush it off, but you just stay aware of it. And I'm more, what I've grown into is to stay between the lines a little better.
Right,
right,
right.
And take those warning signs for real.
Well, and we've talked before, too, with folks that have had problems with stuff, you know, substances and things. And sometimes it's like one can sort of feed the other. So if, you know, things are getting a little bit crazy and you notice that there's a little bit of doom and gloom hanging around, you know, you feed yourself more of the thing that's, you know, probably not good for you. And then, you know, before you know it, you're in a freaking dark hole. But the crazy thing is, and I think this is important for people that are listening, because what is so interesting is that we've had a few people on that it seems like that they are sort of they have the ability, or they have had this sense since they were kids, and that's really mm-hmm. sort of it's sort of scoped or I'm sorry, I guess sculpt would be a decent word to use, who you are, you know, it's kind of in the fabric of who you are. So as you've gotten older, those weird things aren't outside your realm of understanding. And so you're able to put those pieces together a little bit more than maybe somebody that maybe has never had those experiences, you know?
It also seems to me that your earlier experiences were all very, very dark and very heavy in that aspect, and were, you know, very scary. And as you got a little bit older and you started getting older, those, I guess maybe you tuned yourself in to feel the positive more, you know, or something more familiar, right. And were accepting of that. But where you also were, you tuned yourself to where if something doesn't feel right, then
get the fuck out.
If you feel that kind of malevolent kind of energy going on, you know, it just feels like that could be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to try and back away. I might act like I'm going to go run in the scary, spooky barn, but I'm going to be pushing somebody in front of me.
Yeah. 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 Oh, man.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're very 21st century. We're on Instagram at What's Your Weird Story. That's WATSYER Weird Story. We're at Twitter. We're at What's Your Weird. We got a Facebook page. It's the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. Just remember that our your is your because we're folksy. And we also have a www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's for all of your social media platforms. And those are ways you can contact us and set up an interview if you want to be a part of the show. So look us up.
I tell you, there's so many, like, just weird instances. There's one that it was kind of a group thing, and you have to get JR on to tell his version.
Mm-hmm.
But our Doc Johnson got all the American Legion guys, and they got together to do this big memorial for soldiers and stuff in our cemetery here in Kingfisher. And so we got this big, huge job, and it's like right before, it wasn't Veterans Day. It was one of those days. It was, you know, Memorial Day, something like that. And they really wanted it done. We had last little minute pieces. So we literally were working the night before in the cemetery. You know, a couple old men, they had some coffee out there set up for us and some lights. And we're out there putting these big plaques on this last bit. And we're working and we watch. There's no cars coming and going kind of deal. It's just these guys. And then they kind of take off. And it's just us out there. And you see some people go walking. I thought, you know, people go walk in the cemetery and no big deal. But we're not like in town where you could just walk up on it and cruise. You know, and we clearly saw them. I mean, I thought something. And we just kind of worked around, kept our eye out, and then kind of went towards the back. And then they never came back out. Like, we're up by the front. There's not, you know, the back gate's closed.
Yeah.
So did you just hop a fence, or it was just one of those things that I don't remember any faces. We just saw maybe some ladies in some dark kind of gear cruising or something doing the power walk shit. But it was far enough away that you just saw there was somebody walking.
Dude.
It wasn't walking across anything. It was down the road. So you're thinking it's just a walker, no big deal. And they never came back out. And we're like watching for cars. We're looking for, there's no sidewalks out to that thing. You know, even if you park for the Elks and you're crossing the highway and all that to go in the dark.
Yeah.
No flashlights, nothing.
That's the third.
It's like,
that's the third story that we've had about the Kingfisher Cemetery.
Yeah.
And the Kingfisher Cemetery is about a mile or two outside of town.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, you can't, you wouldn't walk out there. You wouldn't ride your bike out there. It's just outside of town, and you wouldn't, you know, I mean, you can go out there, you can drive out there. It's really peaceful, really nice cemetery, but like, that is just so strange that you're the third person to mention some kind of a weird experience out there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the timing of it stuff, you could see somebody going out there to decorate, but we were out there late. You know, I wouldn't say midnight, but maybe something like that. It was fucking dark. It was over. Night was done. Wow. People aren't out choking.
Did you see lights?
Blocks. No. You know, and that's, you know, we just kind of like, let's get this thing done.
Yeah.
Time to get out.
So yeah. Wild.
Wow, man. That's awesome, dude.
That is incredible. Crazy.
Great stuff, man. Great stories.
Yeah, you know, I just always thought everybody has some little moment where they do make that choice within themselves, whether they believe what they're seeing, believe what they're feeling, or they don't.
Right.
Everybody can relate to that. And that's, to me, that's it, yeah. I don't know if I'm seeing angels or devils, but I definitely know you feel an energy. Like, if you go to a Thunder game compared to a high school basketball game,
yes,
you walk in a room, you feel different.
Right. Yes, you do.
And that's, I think there's a lot of lingering energies around that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, maybe they like to warm up to you like a cat, just keep circling around, petting your leg. I don't know. Cat for the damned.
Right. Catnip for the damned.
Oh, I think we've got our episode title.
That's
right,
great,
there,
dude. Well, you know what, man? Like, the fact that you've never shared these stories to me or anyone that I know of just makes it. I understand you a little bit more, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known you forever. But I understand sort of maybe the depth of the things that you have seen, man. I mean, I appreciate you sharing your stories with us, man.
Well, I mean, you can kind of, you know, where I've gone from there.
Yeah.
The wild entailment that is. So you can kind of see how I've grown to make choices and do things. And, you know, when I get blotto and out of control, man, sometimes I've been so scared. and just curling up and crying from stuff. And sometimes, yeah, you're good to go and ready to run naked down the street. Who gives a shit?
But it's, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And yeah, I mean, I'm glad you came on, dude.
Yeah, for real, dude.
I totally dig what you guys are doing. I think it's very cool to get the open forum for people to just, you know, let some stuff out.
Yeah. It's so cool, man, that you,
you know, we're all a part of it.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, and it's cool that you reached out too. Cause you know, I think we were talking before we had an interview before, and it's funny cause some people are a little hesitant to come on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just a conversation. And once you kind of get in the flow of it, it's fun. It's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's, definitely. And it's a community of people that you can talk to, and nobody's going to get weirded out or, you know what I mean, think you're crazy, or maybe they do, but who cares, you know?
They'll probably still judge you either way, but that's because
that's right.
The best way to live, right?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely, man. Yep. Wear it on your sleeve, man. So.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, hey, do you got anything else for us? Off the top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of leads up to pretty good standard, I'd say. Most of the other end of it kind of gets into the deeper spectrum of insanity.
So we want to try an experiment. We want to get stories from you, the listener, for us to read on air.
What we're saying is, if you don't feel comfortable being interviewed on air, you can type up your story and send it to us, and we will have it read, and we'll share your story that way.
It'll be a cross between us telling your story and our reactions to your story.
So what we'll probably do is have a third party read your stories, and we'll react as we typically do.
And we want to try this as an experiment. It's an idea that we've come up with.
Now, granted, we can't ask you the questions we would normally ask someone who is involved in the story, but we may have our reader just make up stuff.
That could be part of the charm.
And it's a little silly, but we're going to try it, and it'll be fun.
Okay, so what would you do if you were, as a young child, walking in a wooded area and got creeped out by something that you can't see, and then a little while later, one of your animals is choked out dead on the ground? How do you react to that?
Well, yeah, but also, you know, one of them, you find one of them dismembered in horrific fashion.
And nailed, just, nailed to the freaking fence.
Yeah, I don't think I would have handled that real well, you know? I mean, I would have, like, I don't know how I would have processed that at all, you know?
At that age, man, for sure.
At that age. And then shortly after all of those weird and tragic events, you know, with his father passing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never knew that, you know.
I didn't either.
You know, it's one of those strange things that I guess we just knew not to mention it, not to say anything, because it was just kind of one of those things where I guess it was a subject that you didn't touch because out of respect, or it's just, you know, out of decency or whatever. You know, you just don't go poking around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as we were raised, you know, mm-hmm. now as an adult, you know, if somebody said, you know, told me about, well, I would ask what had happened. But, you know,
sure.
When you're as a kid, you just accept that.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing that it's amazing as a kid that you, even though no one says it to you, like nobody had to tell you, hey, dude, don't talk about that. You just kind of go, okay, like, that must have been really a tragic situation, and if he wants to talk about it, he can talk about it.
Yeah.
I could count on my one hand the amount of times that we ever talked about his dad, you know? But knowing kind of some of that other stuff just kind of really paints a different picture for me. And then how that carried on into his experience with his grandfather when he's, when they're in the garden together, and...
Oh, man, that is... that to me was so creepy.
Wasn't it?
So creepy, dude.
Good Lord. Yeah. Yeah. And you could just tell that when we were talking, just how real that stuff still is.
Oh, yeah. Him. Oh, yeah. For sure.
You know,
but one of the nice things is that typically it seemed after those experiences, at least the ones that he talked about, I hate using the word interview because we're just talking, but, you know, how things just, it kind of, everything shifted though afterwards. Those early encounters were very scary and very dark. And those were kind of formative because they all happened, a lot of those in quick succession, but also in very like tenuous times, you know,
right. And
he was young, but you know, then things changed when he was, you know, he was swinging with the old lady and saw her, and you know, then he had the very nurturing and paternal kind of feeling around, you know, when he was living in his house, which is his grandparents' house, now his house, you know.
Right. He was always really close to his grandparents, you know.
Yes, yes.
He was always taking care of them. I mean, that was just part of the deal, you know. It was when he lived with them, he lived with his grandmother. He took care of her. He did right by his grandparents, man.
Yeah.
And that story that he told about the drawer being shoved in and broken, that made the really loud shotgun sound that he thinks. Mm. That's what he thinks happened. He sent us a picture.
Yeah, dude. That.
And he said that he's remodeling his kitchen, but he's going to keep that drawer as a reminder. And I just think that was, it's really, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. Froze, and he'll be the first to admit he struggled with his demons, you know?
Yeah. We all have, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, and that's life, you know, but he's like, he's always been solid, and that seems like that's a brilliant thing to, you know, and a touching thing to keep that. As a reminder of, like, you know, stay on track, you know.
Right. Right.
Don't do this anymore.
Grandma's always watching.
Grandma's always, exactly. So, we'll have that picture posted up on the Instagram account and on our website and all that good stuff.
And also, too, this is a great example of somebody that listened to the podcast and thought, you know what, maybe I could tell a story, you know, and then that story turned into an hour plus worth of good stuff. And you know, those listeners out there that are listening, thinking about cool stories that they've got, but are a little bit intimidated by getting on the podcast, it's very easy. And this is another example of someone in the same situation, you know.
Fro, when he first contacted us, he was very much flirting with the idea that he had a story, you know, just a short one. And then all of a sudden, you know, we've got this great episode that he's got of all these really touching, poignant type stories. So even if you think you only have one short story, we want to hear it. You know, we'll put it together with other short stories and we'll make it
happen. Don't think you got to come up with 2 hours worth of material here.
No,
you know,
not at all. You know, if you got one story, I mean, that's great. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You know, early on we had a lot of individual short stories, but now we're getting to where people have, oh, I got this. But, you know, of course, a lot of that even comes from the fact that they're remembering and thinking about the story and remembering all these other weird things that happened to them. And, you know, and even if you didn't have anything weird happen to you, you know, we appreciate your support in listening to us and listening to the stories that are being shared. We got a lot of big plans, and we're real happy with how we've started off this since just August of this year, and we've had a lot of positive response, and everybody's, you know, giving us good vibes or whatever, you know, positivity to keep, you know, going ahead with this project, and we love it, so we're going to do that for sure. But we need you. We need you guys to share your stories with us.
Yeah, and get involved and give us a review. That would be fantastic if you guys would do that. This coming year, I think we're going to come up with maybe a couple more things that we can do for giveaways for folks and get them a little bit more involved. And just try to grow it a little bit. And although I got to say, it's been pretty amazing. The word of mouth has been great. And like you said, people have been really encouraged. encouraging and kind, and you know, because we're just trying to figure this out too. I mean, we're not pros here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Barry here is an audio engineer, and he knows what he's doing to make us at least sound good.
Yeah, you know? But I've said this before. It's all about the guests, man. Because if we don't have, you know, if we don't have quality guests, I mean, it just you got to have content that is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you again to all our past guests because we've had such a good outpouring of amazing stories.
Yeah.
We got great stuff coming up for you guys. You know, this is the week before Christmas. Next week we're going to have it's a good lengthy episode with some good stories, some happy stories, some funny stories, some sad stories. But you know, we got so much stuff coming up. Guys, it's awesome, and we're just having a great time doing it.
Yeah, we're blown away every time we do one of these episodes. When we get the guest on, I'm just so thrilled with how things come together, how the stories mm-hmm. come across. What part of the fun is too is that even though one of us may know a little bit what's going on, the other one certainly doesn't, and even the mm-hmm. person that knows what's going on, you don't know where it's going to go. So there's an exploring that goes on with the conversation, which is fantastic.
Very true, know? And I think that's the fun of it for us. Because we don't know where it's going to go. And so we're kind of right there with you guys listening at home, you know, because we don't know exactly where it's going to go. So it's, you know, that's part of the fun of the ride. And that's why, you know, that's why we do it the way we do it. Our style rather than heavy interview style and grilling people, because we don't want that. We want to talk to people. We want to connect with you guys and with our guest. And, you know, and that's what we like out of it. And we think that's what you guys like out of it, you know. And so, you know, let's keep it going. Keep the train moving and, you know, getting more passengers and find other applicable metaphors.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hang with us, man. And keep tuning in. We will continue getting better is all I can say.
And tell us, what are your weird stories? As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.